Caroline, Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Mike Vrabel will speak with the media in 20 minutes. We will carry that live and in its entirety right here on 1025-1063, The Game. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Mike Vrabel's cranky today.
More than likely, yeah. After that performance.
I don't think that would behoove him.
Exactly.
No.
At this point.
I don't think it would either. I don't think
after that performance, I would be cranky too.
I think you have to be real today. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, and you know, you try to stay even keeled, mm-hmm. as positive as you can be, because this is tough. This is the toughest one yet, I think, based on what's happened.
I would agree. It does feel like the toughest one yet. And I don't know if that's because it's just you've seen it. Now so many times that the sample size of just bad football is big enough that you can feel confident in saying, or at least I can feel confident in saying, that's a bad football team. I don't know if it's bad because it's the worst offensive line performance that we've seen. I don't know if it feels so bad because the defense has been so just not very good when we expected it to be good. It could be all of the above. But this loss does feel like it hurts just a little bit worse.
Because it's getting harder for him to go to the podium and say, we're just a win or two away from getting right back in it. Like,
because
you're getting further away from it now. Mm-hmm. He can still play that card, but it's not as realistic as maybe it seemed, especially after the Falcons win, mm-hmm. right? Or even after, you know, they're standing toe-to-toe with the Steelers in the final minutes, having a chance to win that game to get to 4-4. That's the razor's edge of this league, and that Mike Vrabel knows that. Mm-hmm. But now that they haven't gotten that, and now you lay an egg on the road against a very average team in the Bucs, oof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting harder to see a pathway, mm-hmm. with the issues they have back into, quote, contention, especially what's happening with the Colts, what's happening with the Texans, especially the Texans. Mm-hmm. The Texans are legit good.
C.J. Stroud is legit good.
Because remember, we said this a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. I was looking at those two games in December against the Texans and saying to myself, all right, is there a pathway here to get back in this thing? Trying to say, okay, what are the chances? This was around the trade deadline where you're trying to decide, can we make this happen or not? And I'm thinking, okay, maybe by December the Texans have the wheels fall off a little bit, some injuries catch up to them, maybe Stroud goes through some struggle. It's anything but that now. The Texans are likely to be right in the wild card race at that point with a quarterback that is doing some incredible things.
Offensive
incredible
rookie
of the year,
I think we can say.
I heard a stat this morning. Like he has a chance to lead the NFL in yards passing, which hasn't happened since like Davey O'Brien or something. Like we're talking about way, way back. Like not even maybe I didn't hear it clearly, but obviously Stroud is a superstar, mm-hmm. on the rise here.
And you've got on the road in Jacksonville. On the road in Miami, obviously two games against the Texans, mm-hmm. Seahawks. It doesn't look very easy coming down the pipe. It's not like, oh, well, you know, we're sitting at here with a record that feels uncomfortable with 3-6, but you've got six winnable games coming down the pipe. You do not.
The Colts game here, mm-hmm. is that a gimme?
There's no game.
No way.
There's no game on their schedule moving forward that anyone should utter out of their mouth that it's a winnable game. There's not. Every game, every game in the NFL is winnable.
Right. It's
if
winnable.
If you do the right things and you don't, basically put yourself behind the eight ball, every game is winnable. But realistically, looking at their schedule, the way they have played, even at home at times, because let's not get it twisted. It took a drop ball from Jefferson to secure a victory, because it seemed like Atlanta was moving the football too.
Yeah.
It took another play against the LA Chargers for you to eke out that win.
Yeah. Razor's edge.
And razor's edge.
A hobbled Joe Burrow to
And a hobbled Joe Burrow to allow you to closely win that game. So let's not, look at this as, oh, when they get back home, the game's back home, they're going to win those. No, those are not win. I'm not going to sit here based upon what I saw yesterday, what I have seen, and where this offensive line is. guys dropping like flies. Am I going to utter the words, it's a winnable game? I'm not going to do that. Every game on their schedule moving forward is a hard game. Mm-hmm. It's a game that if you are playing the way you played the previous eight games, whatever, you ain't going to win those games. I'm not going to say they're winnable. You're not winning if you play the way that you had planned. You're not winning if the offensive line continues to play the way they have been playing. And I believe they're not going to get any better. This is what you see from the Tennessee Titans is what you're going to get moving forward. And that's unfortunate because Willie have said it. The Hogs ain't coming in here.
That offensive
line from the Cowboys ain't coming in here.
Nate Newton.
Big Nate Newton, he ain't coming in here. You ain't got a big Trent Williams that can step in and get the job done. You don't have these players that you can pull out of retirement. You can pull them out, mm-hmm. but they ain't going to give you nothing. You can pull them out of retirement. You don't have those people waiting, knocking at your door to get in here to make your offensive line better.
You ask a good question before we went to the break. And that is, as disappointing as the offense is, what about the other side of the ball? It's a good question.
And the offense, as bad as it is, I didn't expect mm-hmm. it to be this bad. I don't think anyone expected this offensive line or this offense as a whole to be putting up 45 points a game. The defense, however, we talked all training camp about how dominant that defense looked. And now, looking in retrospect, maybe the offensive line was just that bad that it allowed the defense to
maybe
look as dominant.
Maybe, it is.
Yeah. But Arden Key, what are you getting from him? Aziz Alshire, not getting much from him. Mm-mm. The defense essentially handed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 3 points off of penalties yesterday, and that's not the first time that that's happened. The defense can't get any sort of pressure on the quarterback. And with a defensive front like that, there's zero excuses.
And the bend but don't break, which is kind of what they are, mm-hmm. right? It's not a bad defense. But it's being held to a higher standard because we thought it could be a disruptive defense that could put the offense in a good position. But what they are is a defense that in, was it 2020 or 2021? I think it was 2021. Whatever year it was a bad, it wasn't a very good defense. But the offense was so good.
2020,
mm-hmm. where Derrick Henry is rushing for 2,000 yards. You mm-hmm. had A.J. Brown. You had... Corey Davis, you had Jonnu Smith, and you had an offense that was cooking. And you're like, okay, they're still good enough to win. Mm-hmm. This defense is better than that defense. I would love to have that defense with that offense. That would have been great. But this defense has only taken the ball away 7 times. That is tied for the lowest in the league. Mm-hmm. This had to be a disruptive defense. That's what I thought they might be able to be, and they really haven't done. They're not bad. 20 points, you're sitting there going, hey, we only gave up 20 points. But for them to win, it's got to be better than that. They've got to be putting the offense. They have 3 interceptions the whole year. They haven't changed games with big plays. And I thought the 1 week that they looked like that was against the Bengals, but there was a reason for that, right? There was a kind of a sitting target in Burrow that they could go get.
You remember that the old they would show it all the time where the mom says, "Okay, I give Jimmy 4 apples and I give him 10 apples and if I take away 6 apples, then how many apples do you got?" And the kid would end up being wrong and it was just a whole meme on that. Well, basically that's what it is here with the Titans. It's basic math. If I am only scoring 17 points, but I'm giving up 20 points.
You lose.
It's basic math, arithmetic, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. Yeah, you're giving up only 20 points, and that's commendable. That's really good in this league. But you're only scoring 17 points.
And they're not even consistently getting to that 17 range.
It's like, okay, 20,
they mustered
17.
Up 6 yesterday?
Yeah. 20, 17. 20. It's just, I mean, this defense, and this is the reason, and you said it, Willie. Because we held this defense to a higher standard. Are they the worst defense in the league? No. It's the middle of the road. That's where it is. From a statistic standpoint, I'm not talking about the guys that they have on their team. I'm saying from a statistic standpoint, they are a middle of the road defense. And you can win with a middle-of-the-road defense, but your offense needs to be scoring 25, 26, 27 points a game if you're giving up 20. We say this defense is horrible because of what it – well, at least I'm going to say it. They're not good. Why? Because of what we expected from them, what they showed us. They showed us that in camp, we're going to be this deep. We're going to be him, as the young kids say.
We're those dudes.
We led by Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. We're those dudes. Kevin Byard in the back end. We're those dudes. Before trading away Kevin Byard, y'all only showed that y'all were those dudes maybe one game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since trading him, y'all haven't shown that y'all are those dudes. Because even in your win, you still gave up a bunch of yards.
And they weren't playing great with Byard. Let's take yesterday. Mm-hmm. You got a struggling offense early in the game. You have a 3-0 lead. You've already gotten an interception. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a sack.
It looks like, okay, you have a plan that's working here. Then you let him get on track. Mm-hmm. So key times in the game, they hit a screen for 43 yards for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Huge blow. Mm-hmm. Huge blow. Changed the game.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, first offensive series in the second half, or maybe right around there, early third quarter, you have the play where Mayfield chucks it down the field. The guy makes an unreal catch.
Yes.
But
great
challenge by Vrabel to notice, and with the communication booth, the ball hit the ground. I didn't see it when I was watching. I chalked it up. But great job. Now you have third and 10. And you
go man-to-man with Evans.
Yes. But what's the key, though? No pressure on the passer.
Yeah.
All day long on the key plays, Mayfield, who will throw the ball to you, mm-hmm. he will throw interceptions if you get to him. He'll chuck it up there. He had all day. They couldn't get to him. They were bringing blitzers. How many times off the edge were they bringing a defensive back
mm-hmm.
that just didn't get there?
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed Evans to take over the game. He was the guy that you had to take out. You had to get pressure on the quarterback. So they didn't have a bad game. But at the key times, they let the top guy beat them, the one big weapon they have, and they let an average quarterback have time to throw.
Too many times this
season. A good defense can't let that happen. You got to get a tip ball and interception somewhere in there to help your offense up out. They weren't that far behind. They're still in the game. The final score is 20-6. A big game-changing play by the defense mm-hmm. could have made it a real tight game. Could be 13-10. Something like that going into the final minutes of the game.
And I thought that's what that early pick from Roger McCreary was going to be, was, all right,
yeah,
we've got some momentum going. We've got energy. Let's mm-hmm. get it. Then you
seven
end up punting.
Takeaways in 9 games. Less than one takeaway per game.
It's not enough. Not enough for a team that we never expected to be carried offensively. Mm-hmm. That we expected that, hey, this defense is going to keep you in a lot of games. But not when you consistently let the opposing team's best player take over the football game. Too many times, offensively and defensively, have the Titans allowed that to happen.
D-Mace, what did you say on Friday?
Do
not let Mike Evans take over the game.
Yeah, that was just like teams come in defensively, and I guarantee you on Wednesday when they come in, teams have Derrick Henry face just plastered on their big screen, and then they're showing plays of Derrick Henry just running over people, running through people, stiff-arming people, and they're saying, don't become a part of his poster. Don't let him posterize you. This is the guy that we have to take care of.
And they did.
And they did. So if every other team is doing that, and the Titans are doing that, they're doing the same thing that every other team. When they got their game plan from a defensive standpoint, there's one guy that we cannot let beat us, mm-hmm. and that is Mike Evans. Here's a big X right here with this guy, 6'5", 210, tearing up the league. He's 30 years old, but he's playing like he's 25. The most consistent receiver over the last 10 years in the National Football League. That's one guy we can't let us beat us. Can't let beat us. Then you go out there, mm-hmm. and you let him beat you.
Yeah.
He is who we thought he was, and you let him. He beat you.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped a touchdown and still beat you.
He did.
I don't understand. Like, one guy, like that one guy, it wasn't Godwin. It wasn't, even though White played really good coming out the backfield, catch some passes, yes. It wasn't really Baker. Mm-hmm. Baker was okay. It was that one guy. And not only did he drop a touchdown, he dropped two other passes that would have been big games. He dropped two other passes that would have been huge games. Mm-hmm. And he still, that one guy beat you. How should you feel as a defensive unit?
Not great. You shouldn't feel great.
And I know if you're the defense, you're probably sitting there going, well, if the offense would score a couple times and we could play with the lead, maybe we would be
and
more.
Yeah, you know what you got. You know what you're dealing with.
Right. There's more expected from this defense. And you knew that going into the season. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's tough. Because I could see there's frustration there.
Totally. Right?
There's frustration on the defense. Why can't we have 3 points again? How are we going to, you know, it's a little easier to call plays when you're ahead. Like, if we score on this drive, great. Mm-hmm. If we don't, they're not going to score. You know, that's what the Buccaneers could do yesterday.
We'll hear from Mike Vrabel coming up next. 102.5, 106 for the game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel here in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Kyle Phillips, currently up at
the
podium.
Poor thing. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. You go out there and you have that kind of day. Mm-hmm. You put up 2 field goals on the day. And the first one up is Kyle Phillips that has to answer questions from the media. Yeah. And I know Mike Vrabel spoke with the media after the game. But he's going to be stuck answering all the tough questions. He's not the one who asked to answer the tough questions. He had a good day yesterday.
Man, it's just, I don't know. This team, you know what, Willie, when you were talking about the Predators, and I've always said this, it's for some eerily spooky reason, this thing between the franchise at Bridgestone and the franchise at Nissan, they sort of they mirror each other in everything that they do. If you just look at what they've been through and what the Titans been through, and the only thing, well, hell, you can even say that. They went to the Stanley Cup. We went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's kind of – they're about 2 years apart in the cycle.
Exactly.
In some ways.
And I bring that up to say this. What were we saying last year about Coach Hines? All through the season, he needs – well, we wasn't saying it, but a lot of fans, he needs to get fired. We need to move on. We need to change this. We need to change that. And David wasn't going to do it. He just wasn't.
Right. Let's match up the cycle time-wise.
Okay.
Predators, solid playoff team, a little bit of an unexpected run, great run to the finals, 2 games away from winning the whole thing. Division titles, a better team the following year. President's Trophy, and then the following year, Central Division. Not everything went right, but they still won the Central Division. Titans, 2019. Mm-hmm. Go from a playoff team under Mike Mularkey to unexpected run to the AFC Championship game, which is, you know, not the same as making it to Stanley Cup Finals, but that was a heck of a run. Mm-hmm. Better teams the next couple years won the division. So that's kind of the same thing. So what happens when you're not able to get back up there? That's really the tough call for the organization as a whole. Do we hang on and think, well, we'll bounce back? Or can you recognize that you're not going to get back up there and you start moving forward? I think it's really hard to do that. Mm-hmm. It's really hard in the moment to say, yep, let's just, everything we've built for the last 5 or 6 years, it's time to move on, cold turkey. Most teams don't do that, right? Sure. Most teams do what the Titans and the Predators do.
Yeah.
Try to hang on as long as you can.
But my thing is,
it may not be the smartest thing in hindsight.
It may not,
but it's hindsight.
The fans were calling for Hines to be moved on. They waited to after the season and then let him, you know, okay, are we going to do it or are we not going to do it? But the rumblings had started the prior year. Then you go into the season last year, and it was like, fire him in the middle of the season. Nope, we're not going to do that. So eventually, new GM, they end up just moving away from him. It's the same thing. I'm telling y'all. I am telling you. This coaching staff is 3-13 in the last year and a half. Well, basically, last year and a half. The last, let's just say the last 15, 16 games. They've only won 3 of their whatever.
The 7-game losing streak, exactly. and then six this season.
So what, you're 3-13. Mm-hmm. Fans are now starting to say he may not be the right guy. I'm not saying he's the right guy or not. But Amy's not going to do anything right now. She's not. Let it play out. Let's see what happened in the offseason. But I guarantee you this. If they start off slow next year, his ass gone.
You're not going to have an option.
He's gone. If they finish the season bad, Mike, just finish the season bad.
Which
moving
I fully
forward.
Expect them
and
to
then
finish the season
they
bad.
Enter next season and it's not going well, you're going to force her to make a decision that she doesn't really want to make in the middle of the season or during the season. That's a decision she may have to make. Not going to make it in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Not. Give him an opportunity to right the wrong and see where we go. If he doesn't right that wrong, I guarantee you, damn near, he may be gone in the middle of the season next year.
If things continue down this path.
Well, let's look at what they have in front of them, right? They put off a rebuild. Mm-hmm. But next year, they really have no choice. Mm-hmm. Because even if they finished 9-8 this year, next year is still going to be basically a rebuild. You got a young quarterback. Who knows how or if they're going to try to move forward with Derrick Henry? That's going to be a big question, right? Mm-hmm. They've already traded Kevin Byard. We know Ryan Tannehill will probably move on, mm-hmm. right? So it's a new era. So the question to me is, since you're going to be in sort of rebuild mode, you know, you don't have to use that term. Some people don't like to use it, but it's a new era for sure. Does Mike Vrabel want to go through that and be the coach of the new era? Because, like you're saying, there's a scenario where it doesn't go well early in the season next year and you can't fire the team and you get into this midseason stuff and you get canned. Like, it happens so – it's just how sports work. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting off-season question for Mike Vrabel. Does he want to be the guy to go through the new – this whole transition? I think he does. I think he certainly did. But, you know, maybe you get to that point where you haven't had a lot of success. 3-13 plus whatever happens in these last 8 games, which doesn't
not going to be great.
It'll be a whole lot better. That's a tough thing to build back up.
And I think one thing that was a little bit concerning to me, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Watching that game yesterday, I kept thinking to myself, this team looks so uninspired. They look like they're running through peanut butter. And Mike Vrabel just got up to the podium, so we will send it over to Mike Vrabel right now.
It truly is like a meat locker in here.
Today's goal. How you doing, Teresa?
I'm okay, Mike. A lot of talk about effort and execution.
Sure.
Is maybe a bigger problem the challenge that you've got so many undrafted players that you're having to lean on right now?
Well, I mean, though sometimes, whether it's youth or experience, draft, whatever it may be. Those are, you know, we just have to make sure that we're, you know, doing our job, that we're taking advantage of the opportunities and that we're not missing them. And sometimes, you know, whether that's on defense and, you know, we're close or we give up a play, you know, we lose leverage. We'll go ahead and answer it, see who it is. Is anything important? Okay, tell her hello. Is that we're just, you know, we have to be able to make sure that we're not missing opportunities. And so, you know, we've played with, you know, undrafted. Everybody that's here, you know, is expected to do their job, and we have trust in them and, you know, have earned the right to play, whether that's their first opportunity in TK or, you know, Andrew Rupchich or, you know, Eric Garrar or right on down the line.
When you've been hurt in the past, you've brought guys in who've been able to help you. But when you're not hurt, it seems like you're reluctant to go get people. Like, why isn't there more churning of the back end?
We've had plenty of workouts. And, you know, I probably don't want to put a number on it. But, you know, we added, you know, Kayvon Wallace. We've signed you know, other guys. We've brought up guys from the practice squad. We've had worked out guys. We've added players, you know, throughout. I don't have the exact number, but I mean, I think every week we've had, you know, workouts and just signed an offensive lineman, last week. So, I think we're continuing to look and have workouts and bring guys in, and I think we'll continue to do that.
Inside linebacker in particular, between Jack and Monty, are you satisfied with what you're getting there, and is it not possible that there's a solution outside the building who could give you better than you're getting from them?
I don't think either of those, I don't think they were an issue yesterday, by no means perfect, but we'll continue to have workouts and bring guys in and, and take a look. So, I don't think that's ever been something that we're afraid to do.
Mike, after kind of watching film yesterday, maybe what bothers you the most, maybe what's something you feel good about?
Well, the X plays, defensively will always, end up getting you. Played a lot of really good snaps, played a handful of ones that weren't very good. Some good plays down in the red zone to get some stops, had some good stops on third down, didn't have very good rush lanes, a couple times on a quarterback. That would be something there. Offensively, we weren't able to run the ball efficiently. We had too many negative play runs, hit some 8 or 9 yarders, hit some cool plays. They didn't do a very good job in the play action pass game and their pressure in that regard, to where we could, move the ball downfield, and we had too many drops yesterday.
When you look at the way Will Levis has kind of been hit so many times the last couple of weeks, but then he continues to come back, he stands in the pocket. What have you learned from him through that experience?
Well, I think that anytime you have a quarterback that shows that type of toughness and is willing to stand in there and not stare at the rush, I think everybody, appreciates that and values that. And that's not the plan. That's not the goal. Nobody wants that to happen. I've said this to our team, since I've been here. When somebody misses a block or doesn't go to the right ID or the right linebacker, it's not the 7 yards on a sack or 4 yards on a run that bothers me. It's the fact that somebody could get hurt. If we don't block somebody and we're handing the ball off to Derek or Tajay, that's what bothers me. We can make up the 4 yards, I know, somehow, some way. It's just I don't want to see players get hurt, whether that's the quarterback, the running back, or anybody involved. And, if we throw a two-man concept out there between, let's say, Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook, that we did, fairly well. It wasn't like a 30-yard gain. It was a first down that was probably 9 or 10 yards. But, Chris's job is to protect Nick and go and make sure that he's, not getting drilled the second that he catches it. You see that, throughout the league and in college football or, in a bubble. The same way as that we, flip it out there to Tajay on third down. We've got three guys that are blocking. And Tajay is comfortable enough to catch it and know that, the next guy that's free is the post safety. And so that's important to me. So to your question is we believe in Will's toughness, and we also believe that we don't need to get it. We don't need to challenge it as much as we have.
How would that challenge his development as a player? Like, some of these young quarterbacks, they go out there and they get beat up and it alters the way.
Yeah, no, going. I mean, he's texting with Tim last night. He's meeting with Tim and Charles this morning, about where to go with football and about late in the game and ball placement on certain things and zone coverages, and I don't see any discouragement. We have to continue to protect them and to develop them and have them help us and let them throw the football, which, he did at times, and, we left some meat on the bone there, by not making some plays for him.
There are examples, Mike, of guys, young guys, promising guys, getting hit a lot early in their career and it kind of having a bearing on their long-term career in terms of making them gun-shy or whatever. Do you have any concerns?
I don't, but that's – something that has happened in the past, and whoever our quarterback is, you know, we need to protect him. We all understand that for every reason that I just mentioned prior to. So, no, I don't have any concern about that. But I don't want to challenge the idea.
How hard is it to evaluate his performance, not just yesterday, but his evolution now that he's the quarterback when he's under the duress that he was?
We try to, evaluate ball placement, pocket presence, got out of the pocket, extended a play, and hit Kyle down the sidelines, stepped up in the pocket, threw some passes that, were caught, threw some that were dropped, and, had some that were, off target. So I think you can still evaluate it. You can evaluate his ability to get the protection in the right direction and, knowing when to save, take care of the football, get rid of it, and also not put himself in harm's way.
How much of outside the pocket, have you been satisfied with how much he's moved and used his athleticism, or do you kind of want to see him make some more plays outside the pocket?
I think that's just something that, will come. I think that his Will's eyes are downfield. I think that he can, scramble. He also has to, know when he is scrambling and when to get down and, take care of himself. So when I think the opportunity presents itself, I think it's there. I think he's just keeping his eyes downfield, trying to work from the pocket.
How much are the offensive line problems causing you to not be able to do as much as you want to do, or limiting any of the play calls in certain situations or parts of the game plan?
I don't think it's limited us. It's, sometimes in the play action pass game, and I wouldn't put it all on, the offensive line, right? Some of those things are backs are involved and tight ends are involved. So, it's all of us, it's all of us when there's pressure or there's blitzers, and we have to understand that, instead of being able to build those combination blocks, teams may run somebody through and peel us out of some of those combinations to where then we've got to straighten back up and take the backer, so they don't have a clear shot, or the tight end has to be able to come back and pick one of those up and, allow us not to have self-inflicted wounds where we're, letting guys into the pocket, or we're tripping our own guys, or quarterbacks too flat, right? There's all these one times that this happened, that happened, leads to negative plays.
Is there ever a point where, as the season unfolds, you say to yourself, or you and the staff say to yourself, we overestimated what that guy could do. We've got to make major adjustments, or, judging the personnel side of things?
Maybe I don't understand your question, but I think we're always trying to make changes going forward each week that we, based on who we're playing, what we have, who's available, what the game plan is, and is there somebody else that has earned the opportunity or earned the right? I think we always try to do that.
Do you ever look at a guy and say, we thought he could do X when we brought him in, and he can't do X? It's become clear to us.
Yeah, I think that there's always, you think, when you look at, player acquisition, I think that you have vision, for players on what they've done or what they will do, or, not getting into specifics, but I think that's what happens when you look at players that, coming out of the draft or coming from other teams. It's like, okay, this is what he's done for them. What do you think they can do for us? Do you think that it's opportunity-based and will they improve? This is what this person is, and we, they're consistent in that, week in and week out.
To that point, where do you feel like this offseason maybe you and Rand maybe miscalculated on the offensive line?
Yeah, I think there's been too much said, you know, about that, you know, particular spot. I mean, I think that, you know, Rand and I and Chad and A-Rob and the coaching staff, like, we'll focus on, you know, personnel and player acquisition when we get there. Right now it's focusing on, you know, getting a meeting that has the corrections and, you know, moving forward here to Jacksonville and, you know, what we have. And so, you know, I don't think that it's, you know, a calculation or anything with regards to that. We just have to make sure that, you know, pieces are there and they know what to do and that we're able to protect based on, you know, the matchups and what it is each week.
There's consistently quick pressure in the quarterback's face throughout 8 games, 9 games. What should we be focusing on?
Well, you guys, I'm not going to tell you guys how to do your job. You guys, I'm just going to answer the questions. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job.
Where does the left tackle situation stand with?
Yeah, Dillard's in concussion protocol. Dylan, you know, finished the game there and, you know, moved around. And Dylan, you know, admittedly wasn't up to the standard that we need. And he's played some good snaps for us. You know, Jalen Duncan is available to potentially, you know, play or compete for an opportunity. And, you know, a couple guys on the practice squad.
That's coming, you know, from your perspective, are you seeing receivers cut their route short and also like Will's clock shortening because of that pressure?
No, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I mean, there's times where I think the clock needs to speed up, but I don't think he's rushing it. You know, I think that's just a testament to his toughness and, you know, just, you know, miss some blocks, drop some passes. Had some mental errors, you know, so it wasn't, you know, then had some good plays too. Yeah, you know, we did. Had good first drive and negative plays again down in the red zone, missed opportunities, you know.
On screen that went the distance there, what is Rice's role there? Should he be heading in towards the running back?
No, that, you know, it's, yeah, I wish, you know, wish Harold would have got in there and blitzed sooner and come underneath and allowed Monty to scrape around the edge. And probably that was the design of it. Monty probably would have taken the pass from him. If not, I wish that Aziz hadn't turned and run with number three and played with a little better vision. I wish that, you know, we could have got him down. I wish, you know, Monty had a good hit on the lineman. I wish he, you know, wouldn't have given himself up one for one, maybe try to, you know, stay on his feet. Christian Fulton could have stayed alive and Elijah Molden wouldn't have come under and we could have gotten him down. But that's pretty much everybody there on a nutshell.
Can you ask, of course,
you're here. You can always ask. Yeah, you don't have
don't,
to ask if you can ask
a
question.
In an accusatory way.
I'm sure it's okay.
I'm serious. Just from watching the TV copy, were you happy with Trevis Gibson's effort on that screen pass?
No. I mean, I don't think Trevis was running as fast as he could. I don't think Roger from the backside. But I'm trying to think. Trevis was dropping, and so he was on the backside. You know, again, I don't think anybody's effort was good enough. Anytime that they, you know, gain yards or the quarterback, you know, fumbles the ball by himself. And we've got too many guys standing there and watching that, assuming that he's down or assuming that somebody else is going to make the play. And it's, you know, you can never assume, and that's why we talk about finishing longer than the guy with the ball and playing full tilt at a tackle. And then when they are tackled, you know, that's when you can come out. So, again, this is not going to be every single play. There's a lot of great efforts in there. There's also, you know, efforts that, you know, you're going to wish that you had back in a long, hot game with, you know, none of those are excuses. It's just sometimes that's how it is.
Yesterday you said not to confuse effort with execution. Today you said there's some questionable efforts.
Again, that's a statement, Paul, and so if you could just ask the question.
Yesterday you said that effort wasn't an issue, it was execution. Today, you're saying that there were some questionable efforts. Those two things don't jive. Can you help me understand?
You, in a course of 70 plays, you know, I wouldn't say that we played with bad effort. You know, there's always going to be some outliers and, you know, the ability to take, you know, things that I say and, you know, interpret it however you want to interpret. I don't think that the effort on the 43-yard play was the reason for the touchdown. It's always going to be, you know, to think that you're going to have 11 guys on every play, you know, with 100% effort, like that doesn't – it just doesn't happen. You can watch every single tape from every league of every game. Like, do I think we play hard? Yeah. Do I think we quit? No. Did we play well enough and coach well enough? No. They hit a play. You know, they hit an X play. And, you know, that's it. That was unfortunate.
The teams that you've coached here in the past have found an identity in things like winning the turnover battle, winning the rushing attack, you know, being tough on the road, physicality. 10 weeks into this year, you guys haven't done those things. What makes this team different from the teams that you've coached?
Every team is different. Every year, every team is different. Every season is different. So I don't want to, you know, compare and contrast each and every year. We're focused on, you know, what this particular team needs to do better, what it needs to do better in a hurry, and what it can eliminate to help us start winning.
When you look at the quarterback position, how much of their job is to demand more from the 10 guys around them? And if it is a big part of it, how difficult is that for a rookie?
Well, I don't know. I've never been a rookie quarterback. But I think that the quarterback, their play and their, you know, I don't know if it's a demand or inspire or, you know, I've always felt like, you know, when you're in the huddle and they call the play, you feel confident about the way that it's called and that it's going to be successful and that they fix problems and they fix formations and they say, hey, you know, make sure you do this and I'm going to throw you the football. And those are all things that happen at, you know, at the quarterback position.
How did Chance hurt himself?
He hurt himself in pregame warmups.
Mike, with the game in Jacksonville, one more road game, but a divisional game, how much of this is an opportunity to try to fix a couple things at once? The road?
Sure. I mean, it's just about, you know, it's about one game. It's about focusing on this week. It's not about, you know, our record and things like that, because that's not going to help. It is what it is. That's not going to change. And so, you know, we have to change behavior. We've talked about the only day that matters is the test day. Is when we go out there and we can ask questions and we can walk through and we can practice and we can get it. But until we go out there and we show it and put it on tape, then that's all that matters. So it is a great opportunity.
He's gone downfield for quite a bit, just as he has the first two games, but kind of the productivity has gone down the past couple of weeks. Is that a matter of defenses?
Who's that?
Will still throwing downfield quite a bit. Is that a matter of defenses adjusting to him the last couple of weeks after that great start?
Yeah, I told you we dropped 5 passes. So start there. You know, then it took some shots, I think, late in the game, which, you know, they were back there and we probably could have, you know, dumped it off to Tajay or, you know, somebody, but he, you know, tried to throw the ball downfield. We're down 2 scores.
Kyler, any more time?
Phillips.
I'm sorry.
Kyle Phillips, is he earning more time?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to understand kind of Kyle, his skill set. You know, he plays for us on third down, plays a little bit on first and second. You know, he's got a skill set, and then we just have to be able to marry that with the other stuff that we're doing and the routes or the plays or the calls that we have. You know, threw him a screen, had a nice gain, a great effort. And we should, you know, make sure you guys evaluate the effort on that play to Kyle while we're grading effort. And, you know, probably needs to catch the one Will threw him. Will's probably got to take a little bit of steam off of it. But, you know, those are good plays for Kyle. It turns into, you know, kind of punt returns, those little screens. And then, He's been showing up a little bit more, at a great play on third down.
With the combination of players that you have and coaches, that you guys can get to the answers on figuring out how to get the offensive line to allow the offense to get in sync.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident. You know, that's what our job is here. We're here to fix problems, and none of us have been good enough at any position, at any level. So that's our job. That's what I'm going to do. And I know that's what our team's going to do. And so we'll give ourselves a chance. We'll get a plan together and, get back to work. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. A lot to dissect there. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Tune in at 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders will take on Western Carolina tonight at the Murphy Center, with pregame beginning at 6 o'clock and tip-off at 6:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com.